Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. I'm Jim Gano, and I am taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Colorado has won approval to provide drive-up pot sales at a former car wash. Parachute's mayor says personal feelings aside, without recreational marijuana sales, the town would be in deep financial trouble. Selling marijuana out the window figures to drive more people to Parachute's restaurants and shops.
A man accused of murdering a Rutgers College student has been caught in the Dominican Republic. Scott Pringle has the story.
Essex County prosecutors say U.S. Marshals rounded up Freyned Ramirez in the Dominican Republic. Ramirez and the other suspect, Marcus Felix, have been charged with murdering a Rutgers student and robbery. Authorities say 21-year-old Shani Patel of Toms River was shot and killed in April of last year during a robbery at an off-campus apartment in Newark. Patel's roommate also shot. He survived. Scott Pringle, New York.
Crews cleaning graffiti from several iconic Washington, D.C. monuments. The National Park Service says it could take up to 2 weeks to clear the messages scrawled in permanent black marker on the Lincoln Memorial, Washington Monument, and the World War II Memorial. Park police believe a single person is likely responsible for the damage. They're asking for the public's help in trying to determine who did it. USA Radio News.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
And we are back with more of Modern Design in our Hour 2. Jane, I always think that Chris's promo sounds like it would be like the beginning of like a 1970s like sitcom show, doesn't it? It would be like on CBS. It has that sort of like big opening that they would have. Anyway, so let's take a look at the weather again today. The National Weather Service is telling us the updated forecast from last hour that we're at 55 degrees now, and this afternoon will be partly sunny with a high of 58. Tonight it's going to be partly cloudy with fog with a low of 41. On Thursday, there's going to be areas of fog, then a high of 69 degrees. Thursday night, a 30% chance of showers with a low of 48.
All right, we're going to take a look at the weather now quickly. Right now, it is 60 degrees outside, partly sunny with a high near of 66 degrees, southwest winds of up to 6 miles per hour. Tonight, we'll have a chance of showers, mainly between 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Areas of fog after 2 a.m. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a low around 49 degrees. Light south wind. Chance of precipitation is 30%. New precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch possible. We'll be right back with the Interns News Corner with your host, Wyatt Nasinski.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what. You sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
and I'm Pat Gregory, handyman extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Interns News Corner. I'm your host, Wyatt Nasinski. So today, as I had mentioned last show, that we're going to do things a bit differently this time around. We actually have a guest from Hunterton Preparatory School, the superintendent, if you will, of the head honcho of Hunterton Preparatory School. His name is Mr. Toby Ree Lloyd. And let me just say thank you for coming in today. It's really nice to have you here.
Wyatt, it's my pleasure. And it's a great little setup you have here. And I'm looking forward to the next hour. We've got lots to talk about.
Yeah, me too. You prefer that I just refer to you as Toby, or are you fine with me just calling Mr. Lloyd? I don't want to. I know we're still together most of the time, but I just want to make sure I'm not calling you by anything.
Let's have fun with it. And you can call me Toby.
All right, there you go. All right, feels good already.
Good.
And before we talk about HPS, I'd like to actually talk about yourself, first of all. I'd like to just want to ask, first of all, when you were younger, did you ever plan to get into the career of being a superintendent of a school, or did you have anything else that you were interested in at the time?
Well, that's a great question. And I guess I've told this story a number of times. I think the place that I wind up with the story is there's this great phrase that I happen to believe in called, and the phrase says, you grow where you're planted. It seems as though, even though I had designs and ambitions to be a rock and roll star, it didn't quite work out that way. And I wound up as a high school student playing in bands and trying to get something together that would actually be considered a job by my mom when I was in high school. I was on the verge of accomplishing that when summer came around, and she asked me if I had a summer job. And I told her that I was going to be rehearsing my band all summer, because when fall came around, we would play every high school dance in Morris County and make lots of money.
If I can ask, how much did you make on those?
Oh, we'd pull down the princely sum of $125 for a 4-hour dance. Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive.
It wasn't too bad for the times. But she was really more interested in what I was going to be making now, right then and there, like summer job. So she actually required me to get a summer job, and she gave me an application for a camp. Now, I grew up in Florham Park, New Jersey, which is a very suburban town, not the kind of place you really associate camping and wildlife and outdoorsy kinds of stuff, other than riding bikes through neighborhoods. You know, it's not a kind of a campy environment. So,
yeah, I don't really know the area, so I wouldn't know, but...
Right. So I thought that this was a very strange thing for her to ask me to do. since I had no experience. So unbeknownst to her, I tried to foil the whole plan, and I sent the application in late. So I didn't lie to her when I said that I sent the application in, but I didn't tell the whole truth either, because I didn't want the job, because I wanted to rehearse all summer with my band. Well, as it turns out, I got the job anyway.
Oh, my God. That's
I guess
cool
I was about to be planted to grow, and I didn't really, there wasn't anything I was going to be able to do to stop it. So I wound up at that camp, and it was very reluctantly that I went up there with her, especially when I found out that when she dropped me off, I was going to be there all summer long. So I had to live there. I was 16 years old.
Where did you stay in? Did you stay in like a cabin? Or?
Yeah, the counselors had cabins. So you're in a counselor cabin of about six other people. And everybody else was a couple of years older than me. I was the youngest person on the staff. I had never been away from home. But then when she dropped me off and pulled away and I had my suitcase in one hand and my guitar in the other, I walked around a corner and came to this recreation area where there was a pool and a nice big beautiful lawn, and there were 65 kids and they were in wheelchairs. And they had lots and lots of physical challenges that I was completely unaware of, and had no experience in dealing with at all. So I had to learn really, really fast how to be a good collaborator with kids who had those kinds of challenges, and a good caretaker of kids who had those kinds of challenges.
Did you receive like training at all? Did they instruct you, or did you kind of just learn on your own?
This was like way before you had those kinds of requirements. So absolutely no training whatsoever. You were just thrown right into the deep end. And the counselors who were around you, if you didn't know something like how to change a diaper or something like that, they just taught you on the fly and then left you to it.
How old were the students?
Oh, the kids were, they were age range was from about 7 years old to 21, 22. It depended on the session. The sessions lasted a week to 2 weeks. So there would be a session where you'd have younger kids, and then they'd go home and you'd get a session where you had older kids. So they didn't really mix them up.
Okay.
But that was the age range of kids that I worked with over the 10-week summer.
All right. If I can ask, how did it go?
Well, this is how it went. At the end of the summer, when my mother came to pick me up, she pulled up and I had my guitar in one hand and a suitcase in the other. And when she, opened the door to take me home, I burst into tears because I didn't want to leave.
Really?
It was the most fun, amazing summer I ever had in my life or could imagine having up to that point. And as it turned out, having my guitar with me was a huge way for me to connect very naturally with all of the kids and all of the counselors. I didn't realize that that was going to be the way that it went, you know. But I found out that music is for much more than just making you rich and famous. I found it out early. So the idea of becoming a rock star started to kind of fade over the next couple of years, and the idea of continuing to work with kids and use music in that direction became stronger and stronger and stronger. And I went back to that camp for 13 summers.
Did you think your mom kind of planned that intentionally? Did she know you were like really into music and thought maybe if you went there you would learn to not only think about the money but the good it can do?
Yeah, I think so. And I think she just knew her son really well, way better than I thought she did. And then when it came time to start to look at colleges and careers, I announced to her that I wanted to go to a music school and become a musician. And she said to me, "No, you don't want to do that." She said, "You love your music, but you love those kids. Why don't you go get training so you could be a teacher? Because if you get training to be a musician, you know, that might turn out, it might not turn out. But if you decide you want to be a teacher, that will turn out." So again, I deferred to her, her suggestion, and I went and got my teaching certificate and continued to play lots and lots of music.
That's great. That's fantastic. So yeah. We're going to take a short break here. We'll be right back with the Interns News Corner. I'm your host, Wyatt Nosinski. We'll be right back.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton. Pambee's Purely Delicious.
See now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
All right, welcome back to the Interns News Corner. I'm your host, Wyatt Nasinski. So I'm here with the superintendent of Hunterdon Preparatory School, Mr. W. Ray Lloyd. And just wanted to, so we finished talking about your experiences with your forced summer job at camp and how you moved on to college to get your teaching degree. So let me start by asking, did you apply anywhere before HPS to teach? Did you?
I did. I actually was contacted by my football coaches at my old high school, Hanover Park in East Hanover, New Jersey, and they told me there was a job opening and that I should apply for it. So I did. And I went through the interview. I was asked back for a final interview, but then I began to think, and I thought about all that time I'd spent at the camp and the way that I worked with kids there. And then I thought about the way I was going to have to work if I went back to, you know, a public high school. And I just knew inside that it was not a good fit for me, that I wanted to work in a different way. The only problem was I didn't know if there were any schools that would allow me to work in the way that I wanted to work. Fortunately, I found a place. A friend of mine had started working at what was called an out-of-district school, a private school in Basking Ridge called Lord Sterling. And I wound up getting a teaching degree, teaching job there. My first job was there. I worked there for 3.5 years.
What did you teach?
Well, there you taught all subjects. So basically, you were given a classroom of up to 12 students, it was very at the time. It was kind of like you kind of created a curriculum with your students in real time. Which may sound very strange, but that's the way it was back then.
What grade did you teach?
It was high school students.
Okay.
Yeah, all high school students. And that was very interesting. They were all great kids. Had very different backgrounds and experiences from the way that I grew up. But I really, really appreciated working with them. And I learned a lot from them, and hopefully they learned a lot from me. Then I heard about what was then the Hunterdon Learning Center. because the gentleman who founded it and who owned it actually saw my band playing at a benefit on a Sunday afternoon. And he approached me after my band finished and said, "I love your band. Is this what you do for a living?" And I said, "No, I'm a teacher." And he said, "Oh, I have a school. Why don't you come look at it?" So that's what I did. And I wound up at the Hunterdon Learning Center in January of 1985.
That's really cool. That's the man, I assume, it was Mr. Butters, the original founder.
Yep.
Yes. So what was the school like when you first started? Like, what was like the setting? What were the students like?
Well, I think the biggest difference that would be the most obvious to people who knew the old school and who've been to the new one was the physical setting of the old school. It was on an 80-acre farm. Very, very beautiful. The building looked like an old ski lodge. It was kind of like a log cabin structure. There were a lot of things about the building that that gave the feel of the school like a hominess sort of family feel, almost less so than a school feel. But it was also not an incredibly practical school layout for the program. There were some real drawbacks to the interior. There was a long set of stairs that were difficult to navigate. That certainly would not have been accessible to all students. The rooms were small. There weren't a whole lot of them. Trying to grow and expand the school within those walls was a difficult thing to do.
I see. I remember, I think the stairs you're talking about, it was the stairs that branched the upstairs from the downstairs. Mm-hmm. It was the ones that would lead to the bathrooms and the two other homerooms, the 11th and 12th grade homerooms.
So. Right. So it was not built to be a school. It was actually built to be a summer camp. And then when Mr. Butters found it, he was able to start his school there. And, you know, thankfully, we were able to be there for 30, I think the school was there for 37 years before we moved it. But that physical space is one difference. The other difference was we had students who really responded to more hands-on kinds of activities. So we did a lot of hiking and outdoor stuff. There wasn't a whole lot of academic work at the beginning. It was kids learning other things, other ways, and it was real interesting to work like that. I think those were the primary differences between the way things were then and the way things are now.
Yeah, the way that you learn at the school is a bit more different than you would from a standard traditional high school.
Very, very different. Yeah,
that this way should be the preferred way for all schools.
That's hard to say. I mean. Traditional schools work for the vast majority of kids perfectly well. What I think is great about the state of New Jersey is in the country, I believe New Jersey has got more options for people who learn differently and the broadest of all possible placements for people who learn differently. So I love the fact that New Jersey is really kind of leading the way in real school choice in terms of the types of environments kids can go into to learn in. So I'm excited about that, and I want to continue to pursue that and make that something that is even more accessible to more kids. That's a big goal.
So you definitely like the way that it's run, the school.
Oh, absolutely, and that brings up the things that aren't different about the old school and the new school. The founding principles are all the same; they have not changed at all.
What are the principles?
The principles basically are the idea that the only way to truly achieve a satisfactory independent life that includes other people is for you to take responsibility for yourself. I mean, it's not magic. It's the idea that embracing responsibility. And along with that, the accountability that comes to other people is really the thing that's going to give you the best shot at successfully attaching to other people in healthy relationships that are good for all parties. So that those ideas were there when I got there. And I think we've just refined the ways that we talk about them. And I think there's never been a time where we've paid more and closer attention to those ideas than we do now and really operationalize them at the school. I've never seen a student body like the one that we have now or the one that we had last year who really truly has internalized these ideas and are able to express them to new students coming in just as well as any staff member could.
And you feel the staff reflects the same ideals that you do?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the kind of place where if you didn't believe the things that you were teaching, you wouldn't be able to stay there. And I think that it's true for students, too. If it's not a good fit, you know it's not a good fit. And there's no harm in that. One of the things I love about our school is we're very, very open about the fact that it's not for everybody. It was never designed to be for everybody. It's one option out of many. But people who choose it and the reasons they choose it for, that's what makes it possible for them to really go there and thrive, you know, as we've seen so many kids thrive over the years that we've been at it. And I've been at it there for 32 years now.
It's really impressive. So you moved from a teacher into a superintendent, which I think is a huge step in what you had planned to do. I wasn't sure if you had planned to reach that high of a level of a job, and I was just wondering, like,
why
was there a transition period that kind of...
I'd love to tell you there was a plan, but there wasn't a plan. I was very, very happy being a teacher, and I still, that is my great love, is teaching and working directly with students. If I had, and I know for a fact that if becoming an administrator or superintendent, principal, executive director, whatever you want to call me, was going to remove me from contact, the amount of contact and the kind of contact and work that I wanted to be able to continue to do with kids, I would not have taken the job. So in many, many ways, there's really nothing typical about my job. I know that most superintendents, principals, their jobs are completely different, even though we have the same job titles. My job is extremely hands-on. I'm with students all the time, as you know. We do projects together. I'm very involved in the everyday of the school. I'm not like in an office taking care of business. We have Ms. Atkinson to do that. And she's better at it than me anyway. So I love the fact that I continue to get to teach, but in a different way. I'm not in a classroom. I'm not teaching a subject, but there's other things to be taught.
It's interesting because the fact that you're not a teacher, you're still teaching in a way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And by being hands-on or, you know, being connected to students even outside of class itself, like, I just find that really fascinating. Like, you wouldn't see that at really many other schools. You would see kind of just otherwise just teachers or other students interacting with other students. But here, everyone is intermingled. Everyone is with one another at all times, and I just think that's really interesting.
Yeah, it's less about how you work and how you live than it is about how you live. And honestly, I don't really see a great big dividing line between what I do for a living and living my life. They're all the same thing, and I think that's I feel extremely lucky to be able to say that. I'm as charged up about the work that I do more so than I've ever been. And it seems to just get better every year. But as far as going back to your question, was there a plan? No, there wasn't a plan. What happened was Mr. Butters wanted to retire. He'd been at it for 20 years and wanted to go and live the rest of his life doing some other things, and he'd earned it. So he approached me to go and get my master's degree, gave me a time frame, and we got that done. And that happened in 1995. But I think by then it was just I had the opportunity to try doing something different. And I'd seen the work that he was able to do. So I knew I wouldn't be too far removed from the students. And I just decided to do it. It was only after I got the job that I realized nobody else wanted it.
Really? No one else? You had no competition?
No. I'm kind of kidding. But yeah, there was no, there, that was, the plan was pretty straightforward. I was approached, I accepted the offer, and we just got it done.
That's great. We're going to take another short break right now. This is the Interns News Corner with Wyatt Nosinski. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
I would argue that we have a very healthy and robust relationship with the Mexican government and Mexican officials, and I think they would echo that same sentiment. President Peña Nieto has echoed that as well.
White House spokesman Sean Spicer responding to reporter questions about Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and Department of Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly being in Mexico.
I think the relationship with Mexico is phenomenal right now, and I think there's an unbelievable and robust dialogue between our two nations.
President Donald Trump spoke to the American people concerning budget issues and said they pay value to the money American people give the government.
We won't let your money be wasted anymore. We're going to run government smoothly, efficiently, and on behalf of the very hardworking taxpayers, something that the taxpayers haven't seen in a long time.
Political commentator Alan Colmes, dead at the age of 66, he was known to viewers as the longtime liberal voice on Fox News. USA Radio News.
Hi, it's Angie Austin with Daybreak USA. If you're like me, you want really safe, clean, delicious drinking water for your family, for your kids in particular. Well, a report from the Environmental Working Group warned that 218 million Americans are exposed to cancer-causing tap water, on top of which a Harvard study showed 33 states have unsafe levels of harmful toxins in the drinking water. And if you're concerned about your health, you should be outraged. Luckily, there's a new solution, the Alexa Pure Pitcher. It reduces up to 99.9% of 92 contaminants found in tap water, stuff that can kill you, like lead, chromium-6, chlorine, pesticides, pharmaceuticals, and more. Order yours at waterwithangie.com, waterwithangie.com, or call 888-440-8150, 888-440-8150. Your water will taste great. It tastes so delicious, so pure, so clean. Again, Alexa Pure Pitcher, waterwithangie.com, 888-440-8150.
Protests taking place in California after an incident involving an off-duty police officer. Mark Mayfield has the story.
People in Southern California are protesting after video surfaced of an off-duty police officer firing his gun during a confrontation with a group of teenagers. About 300 people marched through Anaheim on Wednesday night. They started in the neighborhood where the shooting happened on Tuesday night, then moved on to major streets of the city that's home to Disneyland. The Anaheim and Los Angeles police departments are investigating the shooting.
San Jose, California officials getting ready to let residents back into some flooded areas.
When people are allowed to go back into their homes, we've developed a checklist for them to use to make sure everything is safe for them beyond our normal inspection process. We will be developing a debris removal plan that we'll be sharing with the public and providing some assistance with that process.
Get more news online at westernjournalism.com. This is USA Radio News.
Allergy sufferers are hearing a lot of numbers these days about symptoms and relief. But the number sufferers want most is zero, as in zero nasal allergy symptoms. And nothing gets you closer to zero than Nasacort. Because unlike antihistamines that stop only one cause of your allergy symptoms, Nasacort stops more. And stopping more gets you closer to zero. For 24-hour relief of your worst nasal allergy symptoms, including congestion, choose Nasacort. It stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.
The ACLU is attacking Milwaukee's police department. Mark Mayfield has the details.
The ACLU is suing Milwaukee and the city's police chief over his department's stop and frisk policy. Civil liberties groups say the policy unfairly targets African Americans and Latinos. The suit filed Wednesday accuses Milwaukee police of stopping people without reasonable suspicion that they've committed crimes. Police Chief Ed Flynn told reporters the suit amounts to finger-pointing that, according to Flynn, depolices at-risk communities. The ACLU says traffic and pedestrian stops by Milwaukee police jumped from fewer than 67,000 in 2007 to nearly 200,000 in 2015.
The NCAA has landed new charges against Ole Miss. Here's Randy Bell.
The NCAA has finally wrapped up its investigation, and in response to the 8 new allegations of rules violations, the university says the team won't play in a bowl game even if it wins enough games to qualify. Coach Hugh Freeze says he's okay with that.
While it is extremely difficult to ask current players to suffer penalties based on the actions of others,
I agree with the decision to self-impose a one-year bowl ban by our university.
Ole Miss now facing a total of 21 NCAA charges. Investigators say they found evidence that some recruits were paid thousands of dollars. Randy Bell in Jackson.
An illegal immigrant wanted in the 1993 murders of two men in Honduras in custody in North Carolina. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back to the Interns News Corner. I'm your host, Wyatt Nasinski. We're here with Mr. Toby Ray Lloyd of Hunterdon Preparatory School. And we had just finished talking about the basically how you settled in, how you got your, how you transitioned from teacher to superintendent. And I want to take this time to actually talk about if there's any like prevalent memories you had, like any special events that kind of just ring a bell, like that you just thought would be, that you liked a lot and you thought you'd be willing to share.
Oh my. After 32 years, there are so many that it almost seems crazy to pick one out.
It doesn't have to be just one. I meant like if there's like a couple.
Well, let me think.
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
I don't mind being on the spot. It's just my, you know, my memory, my memory these days. I think, yes, I'll give you a really, really strong memory that will I'll keep with me forever. I mentioned to you that that you know I had designs on being a full-time musician at one time, and that was a real goal of mine through high school. I worked very, very hard at learning how to play, and I did wind up having a very successful high school band that did wind up playing a lot of dances in Morris County and high schools and did very well for a high school band. So flash forward or fast forward to 30 years later, when Hunterdon Preparatory School, we had moved from our home on Hoffman's Crossing and created a new home in Annandale. I know we'll talk about that a little bit more later. I think one of the most wonderful and defining moments for me, and this would be as a teacher and also as someone who has been involved with the school for the length of time I've been involved with it, was our first gala, which was held at the Ryland Inn 2 years ago. I invited a then 16-year-old young woman, a student at our school, to be the bass player in the gala band. And the gala band, interestingly enough, was the guys that I played with in high school.
Really?
Yes. So the gentleman, that Mr. Haynes, Mr. Joe Haynes, resident of Basking Ridge, and Mr. Larry Fix, now a resident of Bricktown down at the Jersey Shore, those guys I've been playing with and have known since childhood.
Really? I didn't know that. Yep. I thought you just kind of...
Nope, those guys I've been playing with for my whole life. And so my musical journey started with them when I was the same age that Morella was when she played the gala with my old friends. So it was almost like it was a very special moment for me to be standing in the middle of our very first gala after the school had been around for 40 years or so, standing there with hundreds of people there to support the school. We'd made our move to our new building. We'd changed the name, and all of that stuff had been a success. And those were all risky moves, but we made them. And the strength of our communities, the students, the staff, the parents, we were all able to make that happen. And then with the help and the support of many, many people outside of the school, we met. We our first gala was a huge success. And I just remember standing in the middle of this huge room and looking over at the band and seeing my two friends that I learned how to play music with and went through so many experiences with, standing next to my student who was playing with my old friends. And it was almost like looking at myself when I was 16 years old through the eyes of a man who was then 57. And it was really a special moment for me that she was able to kind of have her biggest night ever you know, with my friends who I'd had many big nights with at in the process of supporting her school. And that was just a great moment.
That's impressive. That's shocking. I didn't know about that, but that's so cool.
It's like that phase, the phrase, you pay it forward.
Yeah, you know? And that just goes to show, like, the connections that the staff and the students have at mm-hmm. the school. Like, it's so deep that, you know, like, you play in a band together, and that's really cool. I know you guys do a lot of concerts at the school, and mm-hmm. Usually you ask for students to volunteer to sing or play an instrument in that. When did that start? Exactly?
Actually, that started before I wound up at the school.
Really?
It did. Our director of counseling, Mr. Dave Turner, started the music program in, I believe, 1981, 81, 82. And it started off as just a guitar class. He was a musician, very accomplished guitarist, and he brought his guitar to school, and kids got interested, and they got a couple of other guitars, and they sat around and they strummed, and then they made a band. They got some old drums and a bass and a couple of electric guitars and a little sound system. So that was all in place when I showed up in 1985. But I had a background in different kinds of music, and so I brought some different kinds of music into the teaching and into the possibilities of what the band could play. And I also brought an understanding of audio recording, and so I wound up building a small studio in the school. This was back when you actually used, like, reel-to-reel multi-track tape decks. And so I brought all of my home recording gear to the school, and we built a studio there and started to get into recording. So I added to something that already existed. And then as other staff members came, they added more things. And as other students came, they added more things. And it's grown into this massive, very, very popular and highly sophisticated program now.
Did you know about this when you were first applying to be a teacher at the school? Or did you not know until it actually happened? Like, I had assumed, like, that would have been like your... like big, like, okay, I'm definitely going here kind of thing.
It was definitely consideration. But the biggest thing was that I could sense when I got there and went through my job interview and saw the way things were there, that I was going to have the freedom to work the way I felt I could work best. That was the most important thing to me. And I think that's the most important thing for most people is it doesn't really matter what you wind up doing. If it feels fulfilling and satisfying, then it does. And I think that has everything to do with where you are, who you're with, and what it is you do day in and day out. And I could tell that I had kind of found my groove at that place. And also I realized that I was only going to be as limited as I chose to be in terms of my own professional and personal growth. And I believe that that's still true. In my job as executive director, I'm always trying to find ways to reinvent what that job is and what it brings to the school. And all of our teachers and counselors, they're doing the same things all the time, which is why we're constantly coming up with new stuff to do. And, you know, our history instructor is an avid reader. And so a couple of years ago, she says, you know, you have this room over here. We're not really using it. Can I build a library?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
okay.
I remember that.
Now there's a library.
Yeah.
You know, things just kind of pop out of genuine shared interest between the students and the staff, and things that it's kind of a shared energy and a shared passion that keeps the program moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And I do know the library is open to pretty much everyone, all mm-hmm. the students in the school. And,
that's right.
That there's still, like, regulations and stuff like that involved. So, yeah, I just think that's really cool how much trust you give to not only the staff but the students as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the good ideas come from everyone; they come from everywhere, and that's another thing I love about the people at HPS is it doesn't matter where the idea comes from. It's not a matter of claiming, you know, oh, this was my idea, or, you know, kind of claiming ownership to any of the innovations that happen there, because they're really shared innovations. Somebody might have the idea, and then somebody expands on it, and then somebody moves it forward in another way, and it happens. And then we all benefit from it. And it doesn't just stop there. It continues to grow and change with each kid coming into the program and bringing their ideas and their energy.
I see. That's very good. We're going to take another short break. We'll be right back with the Interns News Corner. I'm your host, Wyatt Nosinski.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
All right, welcome back to the Interns News Corner. I'm your host, Wyatt Nosinski, and I'm joined here by the executive director slash superintendent slash billions of stuff, Mr. Toby Ray Lloyd. So we talked about a lot about him, the school, and what happens in the school. So one thing I want to mention before we go is the transition out of school, and I want to ask how that is done with like graduation and stuff. Like, what does graduation like mean to you?
Well, graduation for me, this is increasingly so, and I've kind of felt that this is also true for students at HPS. That graduation is a day. It's a very special day. It's a monumental moment of achievement and recognition that something has something transformative has occurred. And in the case of our students, that is absolutely the case. It's not just a matter that they completed state requirements for graduation and that was the beginning and the end of what happened at the school. Our students have, most of them have a very, very deep connection to the people and the experiences they've had at HPS. And most recently, kind of starting with last year's class, but even going all the way back to when I started at HLC in 1985, there are still people that I'm connected to that I had as students, even back to Lord Sterling School. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the wonderful thing about our school and a lot of schools that are smaller and are able to be this relational, is that graduation doesn't mean the end. It doesn't mean that's the end of my time at HPS or my connection to HPS. We've always said, you know, once a hawk, always a hawk. You know, you're in the family. And the HPS family is a term that we use. We've never intended, nor are we, any kind of substitute for your actual family. It's a different kind of a family. It's a family of shared ideas and shared experiences. And so what I think is great about graduation now is that we've done some things that we weren't able to do in the past to help you prepare. Most recently is we started a job internship program. Ms. Capizzuto, Jamie Capizzuto, started an SLE program, structured learning experience program, 3 years ago that now is serving as many as 18 students at a time that are out in 18 different employment environments that are determined by their interest in what they think it is they want to move towards after graduation. So it's really customized and individualized, and it's been extremely successful, not only for our students, but also for the people they wind up working for. Lots of people are very excited about taking HPS kids in as interns, and then eventually paid employees. Secondly, thanks to the generosity of the president, Mike McDonough, of Raritan Valley Community College, and one of his fantastic professors, Kathy Suk, we are just enjoying an incredibly rich and growing relationship with Raritan Valley Community College, where our students now are taking courses there as juniors and seniors, and getting kind of a supported transition experience from something small and intimate like HPS to something large and impersonal and fast-paced as a college environment. So it's not this big abrupt thing that happens to them now. They've gotten their feet wet with it, and it's something they're much more likely to transition seamlessly into.
Yeah, I agree. As actually one of the students who partook in that that class, I definitely felt that helped me transition, because originally, late junior, early senior year, I had no idea where I was going to go after HPS, and the class that I took, that they offered at Raritan Valley Community College, I mean, I kind of just figured, okay, well, I already took a class there, essentially, I guess I can just move on there. And the transition from HPS to Raritan Valley is so far going like really smoothly for me.
And
great. I can definitely attest to that kind of philosophy that you're still here as a family, and that if you need the support, like, that you're there for them.
Yeah. And it's kind of juggling the logistics of all of this is difficult, because we take students from right now 49 school districts in 10 counties. So it's not like we really have a local base of parents and students. And that's why I'm so grateful for Hunterdon County and the chamber and the members of the chamber and Raritan Valley Community College. They've been so accepting of kids that don't even come. They're allowing kids to intern that don't even live in Hunterdon County. You might live very far away.
Yes, I live about an hour from here.
That's exactly right. And so that's great. It's great to be part of the fabric of Hunterdon County in ways that we never were before, and that just seems to be a trend that's going to continue to grow.
That's fantastic. One last question. We have about four-ish minutes. What does HPS in a sense mean to you? Like, what do you like? Is there just a certain like word or thought that comes to your mind when you think of HPS?
Mm-hmm. I would have to say that it is the most. It's the richest community that I've ever found myself, having the opportunity to be a member of. I've never met a group of people who are more diverse in terms of who they are, where they come from, what they're interested in, how they communicate, what they wear, the music they listen to, so on and so forth. That appreciates the differences in one another and actually sees more commonality than any other group I've been around. I think they're the most accepting year after year after year. It's the most accepting and supportive community that I can really imagine. And in those terms, it's hard to think that it could ever be better than it is right now. But what I love about it is that, we're this little school on Spencer Lane in Annandale. It's this little rectangular building in the middle of cornfields. We can't seem to get away from the farm,
Yeah.
But I kind of like being on the farm. And here we are on Spencer Lane in Annandale in our little rectangular building in the cornfields. And we have kids from 49 districts in 10 counties, and they all come together. And they just, more than anything, instead of finding ways to not get along, instead of finding ways why they're not going to, things that separate them, they find things that connect them. Mm-hmm. And the whole culture of the community is about that connection and valuing that connection and how that connection makes everybody's experience more successful and so much more rich. So community would be the operative word when I think of the Hunterdon Preparatory School. It is the finest community that I could imagine being a member of.
That is fantastic. Thank you very much for your time. The conversation that we've had right now, it's meant a lot to me because as a student who's grown up in Hunterdon Preparatory School, I can definitely attest to everything you're saying, and all the stuff that I've learned from being with you has made an impact on my life physically and mentally. Like, I feel really, really strong and confident in myself more than I've done ever in my life. And I just got to like owe it all to you guys. Like I can't really imagine me going back to a different time or way and change anything. I can only just assume this is the path I'm stuck on for better work terms, and I'm glad I'm stuck on it. I'm glad I'm part of this, and I'm really thankful that we've even gotten to the point where I can interview you. Like, I feel like super, super proud of myself.
Well, you should be, because we're really proud of you too. And it's going to be a great future.
Yes, yeah. I agree. Thank you very much for coming in today. I assume you had a very busy schedule, but I'm glad you made time to come in today. It means a lot to me.
Anything for DJ Wiat.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming in. This was the Interns News Corner with Wiat Nasinski, and we'll see you all next week.
Colorado has won approval to provide drive-up pot sales at a former car wash. Parachute's mayor says, personal feelings aside, without recreational marijuana sales, the town would be in deep financial trouble. Selling marijuana out the window figures to drive more people to Parachute's restaurants and shops.
A man accused of murdering a Rutgers College student has been caught in the Dominican Republic. Scott Pringle has the story.
Essex County prosecutors say U.S. Marshals rounded up Freyned Ramirez in the Dominican Republic. Ramirez and the other suspect, Marcus Felix, have been charged with murdering a Rutgers student and robbery. Authorities say 21-year-old Shani Patel of Toms River was shot and killed in April of last year during a robbery at an off-campus apartment in Newark. Patel's roommate also shot. He survived. Scott Pringle, New York.
Crews cleaning graffiti from several iconic Washington, D.C. monuments. The National Park Service says it could take up to 2 weeks to clear the messages scrawled in permanent black marker on the Lincoln Memorial, Washington Monument, and the World War II Memorial.
Park police believe a single person is likely responsible for the damage. They're asking for the public's help in trying to determine who did it. USA Radio News.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey.